Grace and mercy and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, as some of you know, November happens to be our stewardship month, and we have different information out about our time and talent survey and the pledge cards which you've received, which are going up by the altar next week, actually. And I hope it hasn't felt, though, like a pledge drive. Have you ever experienced the pledge drives on the radios? I know I have. You're listening to your favorite classical station or Christian music station, and then they say, well, for the next 2 weeks, we're going to be doing a pledge drive, and then people are in gently and in many and various ways convincing you to put out $30, $40, $50 a month, and if you get do $60 a month, you get an iPad to go with the deal. And so you hear this for a while until they can get their pledges, and as we know, it's important to be able to fund certain things, and it takes money. But perhaps sometimes stewardship month could feel a bit like an annoying pledge drive. I hope not. But why might that be? Well, on the one hand, there can be a bit of a stigma when it comes to churches talking about money. I think part of that can come when we hear about certain televangelists on TV or the radio that we know they have a $2.5 million jet and they're asking you for your hard-earned money, and after a while we might get a bad taste in our mouth. And so we say, I don't think so. I think the churches have plenty of money. On the other hand, though, perhaps there is a bit of guilt. Maybe because on the one hand, one is not willing to give, or you'd like to give, but you really don't have much to give, and you wish you could give more, but you can't. And so the whole idea of money and churches can be a really frustrating subject. God, really, at the end of the day, is the one who has cattle on 1,000 hills. He's super abundantly wealthy, so technically he doesn't necessarily need your money. He's given you time, talent, and treasure, as we talk about in stewardship. But at the same time, God is able to carry out his plans without you. But the beauty of being part of God's family is he allows you and me to be part of his plan, to serve others with what he has given us, the time, talent, and treasure. And I think one thing that can help us in that area is to recognize that God will continue to provide for us. I think when we can recognize that, stepping out in faith that God will provide for us, that can make the difference in regard to how we might be willing to use our time, talent, or treasure, knowing that God is going to provide for us, and sometimes in pretty incredible and unexpected ways. And with that in mind, I want us to look today at the Old Testament lesson which speaks of Elijah and the widow of Zarephath. Now, a little background before we get into the story. Now, Elijah is a prophet of God sent to the people of Israel during the time of the reign of King Ahab. In about 874 BC, this guy named Ahab is on the scene, and it says that Ahab did evil in the sight of the Lord. Ahab would not make a good next-door neighbor. You would not want him as your next-door neighbor. And Ahab's wife was not a friendly woman named Jezebel. Jezebel was a worshiper of Baal and Ashtaroth, and she didn't like God's prophets, and she wanted them all to die, and that included Elijah. So Elijah would sometimes find himself escaping, running to protect himself from her. It was during this time that Elijah was called to proclaim the word of the Lord, and Elijah was to proclaim this message: there will be drought in the land of Israel. Until further notice, rain has been canceled. And why? Because the people have been going after other gods. And it's ironic, though, that there would not be rain in Israel because Baal happened to be a fertility god, and it would be Baal that one would call upon if you wanted crops, if you wanted rain. And ironically, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob said, guess what? No rain until I say so. But nonetheless, Elijah experienced some hardships. He would travel to different locations, and he also was affected by the drought. So at one point, God said, okay, I want you to go to Zarephath, and there you're going to be provided for. Now, Zarephath, as you might remember, is north of Israel in Phoenicia on the shore in a foreign country, ironically the hometown of Jezebel. And Elijah is called to go to Zarephath, the hometown of Jezebel, and there he meets this widow. And that's where I'd like to start reading for you from 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 8. The word of the Lord came to him, "Arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow there to feed you." So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, "Bring me a little water in a vessel that I may drink." And as she was going to bring it, he called to her and said, "Bring me a morsel of bread in your hand." And she said, "As the Lord your God lives, I have nothing baked, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little oil in a jug. And now I am gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die." Now, I don't know if you can do this, but put yourself in the position of the widow for a second. Here is this widow, and she has this guy come up to her and say, "Hey, can you give me a drink? Can you give me food?" And she knows that all she has left is a handful of flour, a bit of oil, enough to make one last meal for her and her son. And then she figures, well, that's it. We're going to die. And this guy asks for food. I can imagine that the widow has gone through some difficult times. She's experienced the effects of the drought, perhaps trying to make ends meet, maybe making the rations stretch as far as she can, adding more water to the soup, so to speak. And not only is she concerned about herself, but she's concerned about her child. It's one thing when you're going through a difficult time, a hardship, and you're experiencing it for yourself. But when you have someone there that you care about, whether it's a child or a friend, it can add to the angst. It can add to the difficulty. And here she is at the end of her rope, and she may have been emotionally, physically, and spiritually spent. And now she's asked to give the last of the flour and the last of the oil. 1 Kings chapter 17, 13, Elijah said to her, "Do not fear. Go and do as you have said, but first make me a little cake of it and bring it to me, and afterward make something for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the jar of flour shall not be spent, and the jug of oil shall not be empty until the day that the Lord sends rain upon the earth." And what does she go and do? Well, it says in verse 15, she went and did as Elijah said, and she and her household ate for many days. The jar of flour was not spent, neither did the jug of oil become empty, according to the word of the Lord that he spoke by Elijah. I find this rather interesting. I find it interesting that God provided for the prophet Elijah through a foreign widow. Now, we might have expected that somebody who is rich and wealthy could have come along and supported Elijah. But no, a foreign widow, not even of Israel, a widow who has really no means to support herself, a widow who has one handful of flour and one little bit of oil, it is her that God uses to support Elijah. And not only does this take place, but God then provides for Elijah and the widow day by day, giving them their daily bread, step by step, giving them just enough for each day and providing for them. Now, I think this is significant. And why is this? Well, I believe that it shows the wondrous provision of God. Perhaps you've experienced times in your life when life has been rather difficult, and then God comes through, and you know that it was the Lord that came through because there was no other explanation for it. And we see here that God uses the weak things, just a bit, and he takes it and he turns it and he multiplies it and he provides for them until the drought is over. And I love seeing this beautiful example of God's provision. In a devotion that I read recently, there's a quote by a man named Bogotsky, and he says this: "God commonly brings his help in our greatest extremity, that his finger may plainly appear in our deliverance. And this method he chooses, that we may not trust upon anything that we see or feel, as we are always apt to do, but only upon his bare word, which we may depend upon in every state." That we may depend upon him and his bare word. So in times of difficulty, where can we turn? to God and to His Word. Now, at this time, you may have an abundance. You may be doing well. And we thank the Lord. When times are going well, when we have plenty of food, when we have energy, when we have all that we need, praise the Lord. We can thank the Lord for this. Let us always remember where it comes from, though. I know for myself, it can be tempting when life is going really well to maybe get a little complacent. And it's always good to be reminded where the gifts, where the time, where the talent, where the treasure comes from. It is a gift from the Lord, and what a gift to celebrate and to thank Him. And in the midst of that, to remember that there are other people that may not have those particular resources. And maybe you have or you are going through a difficult time right now. Maybe right now finances are very tight. Maybe you don't have a lot of treasure. Perhaps you're feeling limited with the talents that God has given to you. Maybe age has caught up with you and you're not able to use the brain as it once worked before, or the body. Or maybe you feel strapped for time. Maybe you have a lot of commitments, or maybe because people have needed your help, you don't feel like you have much time left. And you wonder how things are going to work out. You wonder how you're going to pay off that loan. You wonder how you're going to work and pay off that medical bill. You're wondering how you're going to get through the next day or the next week as you're helping someone else who is going through a difficult time. You're at the end of your rope, and maybe you're left with only a handful of sanity and a few drops of motivation left. It would be tempting to just despair and be hopeless. And yet remember that God is the one who provides. God is the one who is there for you. God is the one who comes through at just the right moment. And He is the one that provides you with what you need. As Romans chapter 8, verse 32 reminds us, "He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also with Him graciously give us all things?" At the end of the day, you might have nothing else, but you still have your Savior Jesus. You may have nothing else or feel like you have nothing else, but at the end of the day, you have your Savior Jesus, who went from His heavenly glorious reign, who took upon Himself human flesh and became a servant for you and me. As far as we know, Jesus really didn't have much of a home to lay His head. And there He dwelt among us, living that perfect life which you have not lived, living that perfect life which we could not give, and giving Himself upon the cross. The widow thought she was going to have her last meal when she encountered Elijah. Well, Christ, before He died, did have His last meal before His death, and there He instituted the new covenant for you by His blood, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. It was there that Jesus was there, spent on the cross for you, so that you might have the riches of heaven. Whatever place you are in right now, wherever you are, remember this, that in Christ Jesus, you have the riches of heaven. You have His nourishment. You have His sustenance in the Word, the Lord's Supper, His promises for you. Romans 8:32, again I read, "He who did not spare His own Son but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also with Him graciously give us all things?" We pray in the Lord's Prayer, right? Give us this day our daily bread. Know this, that the Lord isn't always early, but He's never late either. You may wonder sometimes if the Lord's going to come through, but at the right time, in the right way, He will come through. And maybe it's through an unexpected envelope that comes in the mail. Maybe it comes through a text or a phone call that you receive in the darkest moment, right when you need it. I know I've seen it in my life, and I hope you have as well. At just the right moment, God has come through over and over and over again. I want to read for you from Matthew 6. "Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? Matthew 6:33 says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. God is still providing for today, and I want to share a story of God's provision, really, really neat, that happened around the time of World War II. Now, there was this woman named Lillian, and Lillian was led by the Lord to go to Egypt and to serve orphans. God guided her to begin an orphanage, and she was at one point caring for over 700 orphans in Egypt. And mind you, part of the time was during World War II. Now, during the war, there were supply lines that would get cut off, that they were not able to get certain supplies through the post office. They were cut off from what they needed. And at the time, the orphans were beginning to need food. Their clothes were full of holes. Their blankets were worn out. And they were in need of provision. And at one point, she wrote a note to her staff, and she said, we have nothing. The need is very great indeed, but God is greater. Ask and it shall be given. After praying for several days, she received notification that there might be some supplies for her. And this is what happened. So there was a Red Cross ship that was bound for Greece, which at that point was controlled by the Nazis. And this Red Cross ship was captured by some British soldiers. Now, initially, the order was given that this Red Cross ship should have all its supplies dumped and the ship should be sent off, because they didn't want the Nazis to get the supplies, and they didn't need the supplies. But there was a soldier who spoke up. And this particular soldier happened to know this lady named Lillian over at the orphanage in Egypt. And he said, whoa, wait. No, we shouldn't throw out these supplies. I know someone that could use them. So they redirected the Red Cross ship over to a port in Egypt, and Lillian gets this message, and she says, we have some supplies. Are you in need of any supplies? And Lillian found out what those supplies were. What are the supplies? Well, 2,600 dresses, 1,900 sweaters, 1,009 pairs of pants, 3,800 blankets, 1,100 towels, 700 kegs of powdered milk, and 1,200 sacks of rice. Because this soldier spoke up and said, wait a second, these supplies could be used to help someone else. I thank the Lord for our soldiers who have served, but remember, soldiers do more than just fighting. They do a lot. And I just think it's a neat thing showing that the stewardship of, there's this wonderful resource that this soldier redirected so that a bunch of orphans could have their daily food, and not only that, but to have blankets and food and clothing. Lillian, speaking about the Lord, said this, he has never failed me all these years, and we are being fed like the sparrows who have no barns or storerooms. 700 little ones, we are still looking to the Lord for our hourly needs. Oh, he is such a wonderful Savior. So as we think about the stewardship of time, talent, and treasure, remember that the Lord always provides. He always provides. And one of the beautiful things about being part of the body of Christ is he gives us the privilege and opportunity to serve using the time and the talent and the treasure that we have in service to him for the sake of others to meet our needs. Perhaps it's supporting missionaries. Perhaps it's supporting folks struggling with the fires in California. Perhaps it's reaching out with that phone call to that friend who is in need. Perhaps it's helping someone stack firewood. Perhaps it's using that particular gift that God has given you to make a beautiful card and share it with someone who is lonely. Perhaps it's telling kids about the love of Jesus and reminding them that they are so valuable and so precious. And however God leads you to use the time, talent, and treasure, remember in the midst of it, God will always provide. God will always provide. And perhaps there's a person right now that comes to your mind whom God would lead you to help even this week. So may we, to the praise and glory of our God, give not 10%, not 20%, not 50%, but all to his praise and to his glory, knowing that he will provide. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard, guide, and keep your hearts and minds in the one true faith until life everlasting. Amen.